Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Steve Butella here for Land Academy. Welcome to our Cash Flow from Land show. In this episode, Jill and I talk about planning the rest of your life today. Jill, is there anything more important than this to do today?
No.
I still do it sometimes.
I love it.
Before we really get into it, let's take a question.
Okay. Brian from Seattle called in and asked, "You guys are great. I am all in. How can I convince my wife?"
He's all in. Have you talked to him?
I have talked to him. And this is true.
Of course it is. I know. I'm wondering if he's like,
actually,
is he a member?
Yeah, he is. So this is why I actually threw this in here, because this is real. And I think this comes up more than you realize, Stephen.
You're qualified to answer this more than
I am qualified to answer this, because this is what I told Brian. Well, a couple things. One, have her call me. So, no, seriously, there's something to be said for that. We women look at the things differently. And
really?
Oh, you're so silly. Nice. Oh, my goodness. All right. We all know it's true. Our gut, we have these things, you know, we see things differently, and it's a good thing. You know, how do I say this? When you're looking at something, you want your wife's input. She might pick up on something that you missed. So that's a really good thing. Have her evaluate, you know, the situation or the investment or whatever it is with you. And then, cause for that reason, and B, she better be on board or it's not going to work. So you want her to be all in, you know, so that's right. A good thing. So here's what I told Brian, a couple things. A, I'm happy to talk to her. B, get her involved, listen to her. C, if she's not sure that this is something that would be doing buying and selling land and making a profit, agree on a dollar amount. Say, "Hey, sweetheart, I'm going to spend $500, buy a property, make some money. I'm going to show it to you, you know, as a working example. What do you think?" And because that's what he did. And she was like, "Oh, I'm in." So
that's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I have two points to make here. One, you should never get into any partnership or stay in one, whether it's a marriage or a business partnership or any two people doing anything, if you're not better together.
True.
You know, and sometimes you find out about that later and you make some changes, but you know, two people have to be better together. So if his wife's concerned, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, and then my second point is, I have a peeve. You want to hear what it is?
Uh-oh.
Don't just say, you know, you're not going to get into the land business. Say, you know what? I love your spirit. I don't want to work at this job the rest of my life either. But land's not my thing at all. But I would love to own an ice cream shop, or I would love to buy skyscrapers. Land is too small. Let's go bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Let's provide a solution too, not just like a bitch.
Mm. So what your peeve is, just people that just shut down ideas.
Right. Just, yeah.
For
or
no
just
reason.
Say, just say no. Like, right. Remember your parents used to do that. No.
Steven, are you speaking from experience? Where did this peeve come from?
I've spent a lot of time in Detroit. There's a lot of people in Detroit.
Oh.
Who are just, they're, you know, my dad calls it quietly desperate, which I think is a poem or some crazy quote from some car guy somewhere. Quiet desperation.
Boy, that's sad.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It's quiet desperation.
That's not a book I would pick up off the shelf.
It's not a book. It's a quote from a car
guy.
No,
I'm just going to imagine that's the title of your book, Quietly Desperate. Blah.
How are you going to get 700 emails for this source? People are Googling stuff right now. Don't Google this on your phone if you're driving.
Yeah. Quietly desperate.
No, sweet. No,
I know some guys that dated like that.
Did you help them through it, Jill?
Oh, no. They're quietly desperate. Jeez, I can see through that. Actually, they were publicly desperate. So desperate. That's a good one. I like that. Don't be quietly desperate. Be publicly desperate. It
was Andrew Carnegie said the quote is this, most men live a life of quiet desperation. And it was coming from like Andrew Carnegie or something.
Who is that?
Andrew Carnegie.
I don't know who that is. I know Dale Carnegie very well, but I don't know Andrew Carnegie.
Andrew Carnegie was
Sports?
industrial mogul. Like he built one of the five guys that built this country.
Oh, oops. Sorry. It's okay. Like, he's not Carnegie Hall, Andrew
yes.
Carnegie.
Oh, oops. Yes, that's who that is.
Sorry. I missed that class. You know, there's a few classes I got out of in high school, like biology. And so I missed a few things. And there's a lot that I slept through, history.
I know you love biology. I know that for a lot of reasons.
I hate biology.
Oh, you do?
Oh, my gosh. You know that. I hate blood. If there's blood, I'm out. Sorry.
It's not the kind of biology I was referring to.
Oh.
There's a lot of derogatory stuff in my head right now.
Don't go there.
I'm not going to say any of it out loud. I would think biology is one of your favorite subjects for a lot of reasons.
Oh, now I don't know. I would like to. Okay, off air. I want to hear what this is about because I don't know what you're referring to at all. Okay, so what was this topic?
Planning the rest of your life today. I love this, actually.
This is good. Tell us, please.
It ties into that quiet desperation thing.
Tell us your thoughts and your things on this, and then I'll add.
This is kind of my show, isn't it?
Yeah, I have some notes that I want to add at the end.
People need to plan out the rest of their lives. So if you do nothing else today, look, it's so easy to get wrapped up in your job and your kids and paying your mortgage and all the little stuff. You know, everybody has to deal with that, everyone. But the people who really succeed, in my opinion, they close the door and they get out a white sheet of paper and a pencil or a pen and say, hey, this is taking a turn and I'm not sure I like it. I'm going to plan out the rest of my life and do whatever it takes within reason to change that. And, you know, I really think it's important to have a basic plan.
Can you give us an example? Like how big is it? Is it like I'm going to write a book by the age of 40 or I'm going to retire with this portfolio? Mm-hmm. Give me what are you talking big and then work it backwards?
Yeah, so I call it deconstruction. The answer is yes, it's all of those things, but it's very different for everybody. And there's no right way to do it. I can tell you how I've seen it done incorrectly. Mm-hmm. And then I can tell you how I do it and what works for me. Mm-hmm. This is what you shouldn't do. Oh, I want to be rich. Really? Everybody does.
That's funny.
Except for nuns and stuff.
Right.
So that's ineffective. I want to be rich. Or I want to, help people in Syria. You know, those big picture things are great. And I
want to cure cancer.
Yeah, that.
And like, I'm not a doctor or anything like that, but I want to cure cancer.
I'm not knocking anyone's dream for anything. I'm just saying, great. If that's the end result and you want to cure cancer or help people in Syria and work backwards from when you want that to happen all the way to today. And then lay out a plan, no horsing around, and then make a commitment. If you like the plan and you think it's reasonable, make a commitment. It's never going to happen without commitment because stuff sucks. Mm-hmm. Stuff gets in your way. And you got to make a commitment to just solve it and go through it.
You know what I find the number one thing that gets in people's way?
Themselves.
Yep. They procrastinate. And I don't know why. They hold themselves back. And it breaks my heart because I've seen a lot of really smart people that just can't take that first step for some reason. I don't know why it's scary. And they watch other people. And they're good cheerleaders for other people, but they can't do it themselves.
I have a theory.
Tell me.
It involves self-confidence. So I just finished a book. Well, I'm not done with it yet, but their whole point, it's about raising children. Mm-hmm. And the number one thing that you can do for your child is not save for their college fund or encourage them and give them a medal for doing nothing, which is very popular in our generation, Jill. The best thing you can do is instill self-confidence in them and not beat them up for the fact maybe they're not a good student, but they're a great ball player. Then you give them some great confidence about that. Mm-hmm. You know, it just it's that didn't happen in my generation.
True.
Is from my perspective.
Children. Yeah, you either won or you lost. And you got used to losing sometimes. And you learn how to recover from losing.
I mean, I just made a lot of points in what I just said, and that's one of them. But yeah, I think it's really, really important. All of our kids have, I mean, an incredible amount of self-confidence, I think.
Is it because of us? I think it is.
Maybe we neglected them so much that they just had to find their own way.
Maybe that's it. I don't know. Figure it out.
I don't know.
No.
For some reason, all of them have it. I don't know why.
I don't know. Is it a role model or is it what we taught? Maybe that's part of it. You know, for me personally, it was a role model, I think. Well, maybe it was both, though, because I had a really good role model.
Oh, you mean it with your parents?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I like the way we grew up. I don't mean to sidetrack you, but you said something that is important to me that I'm curious about our listeners. What do you think? And I would really like to know this. You know, I need it. We're going to start tweeting this stuff and talking about these things after these shows, and I want to know what you have to say about this. We are. So I'm telling you right now, we're going to start having some more interaction talks about this stuff.
Yeah, all kinds of social media stuff.
I do have some stuff in my head.
I don't know anything about it.
Thank you. We're going to start talking about this. So I want to tweet. I want to know. What do you think about Everybody Wins?
Call 888-735-5045 and give us your opinion on any of this or
tweet it. Just tweet it to me. You can tweet it to me on my Twitter.
Leave a question.
Send me a message on my you know, stuff. You can find us. So, okay. So here's my point. On our Facebook and all that good stuff, LinkedIn, we're all over there. So what do you think about everybody gets a trophy?
It's ridiculous.
I know. I get it. I understand it.
I don't.
Well, I think they're trying to build up all the kids, which I kind of get, instead of focusing what truly each individual is good at. And if you're not good at something, that's okay. And you got to learn how to handle it. That's my biggest gripe about this, is that if we never teach children how to recover from downtimes and downturns and, gosh, you're not going to get that job and, boy, you had to work extra hard to get that. I don't know. You're going to have a 30-year-old living in your basement, I think, if we don't teach them how to pick themselves up.
If you fail at something as a child or an adult or anything, there's basically two reactions that are possible, different versions, but basically two. You get really mad about it, and so you do what it takes to not fail at it the next time, or you give up.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was talking about. Yeah, the give up.
Or you decide, you know, and it's a version of give up. You know, I didn't really care about football that much anyway. That's why I'm good at math. I'm going to go concentrate on this math thing over here.
Exactly.
You know, so yeah, there's failing is so important. And feeling that feeling of, as early as possible. You know, I mean, I'm talking as a toddler. No, you didn't win the gumball, you know, and you can cry about it all you want, but next time try harder or don't show up to play at all. Go do something else that you're better at.
Mm-hmm.
If people get upset when I talk like this, like, how can you be so insensitive and mean to talk about a toddler like that? I don't know.
It's
I'm
not
sorry.
Their thing.
I know you agree with me, Jill.
Oh, I do. Well, I was just going to say.
Cause I can't get in trouble. I'm not going to get in trouble at all after the show because Jill and I talk about this kind of stuff all the time.
We do. Well, it comes back to what I've said.
Sometimes I really get in trouble after shows.
Sometimes you do. But we agree on all this. This is one of my things, and Steven's heard this 1,000 times. If it's easy, if it comes easy to you, it was probably meant to be, and don't question it.
You're absolutely
whatever
right.
It is.
You know, the first time you said that, I really disagreed with that. But
you did?
After a while, I really believe that now.
Yeah. You gave me a hard time because you're like, oh, Wayne Dyer, here we go.
You know,
and I'm
I just
like,
think
no.
you should struggle until you figured it out on anything. And that's not the case.
Yeah.
Like, I will never do brain surgery, no matter how hard I study and all that. It's just not going to happen. Yeah. It's silly to waste your life on something like that. You know, and find out you just can't do it very well at all.
Right. Well, there are so many parts of our business that years ago, when we didn't have the staff and the health that we have now, I struggled with, and I thought it was a learning curve for me. I thought that I just needed to spend more time with it. It was something that I'm not focused right, or something. I was actually beating myself up about some of the, you know, parts of our business that did not come easy to me. And I finally realized, give it up.
Like what?
It's not
your
thing.
IT?
Yeah, that's one of them.
Yeah, you're not an IT person.
I'm not an IT person.
Here's the thing about, are you done? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay.
The thing is, when you're beginning at this, we have tons more beginners. You know, it's funny because all we hear about are all the beginning people.
Yeah.
And then they go be successful. And then it's like, oh no, we don't need to talk to you anymore. Mm-hmm. So we end up communicating with beginners then more than anybody mm-hmm. else. But anyway, when you're beginning at this, yeah, you have to do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. You got to figure it out. You have to figure it out or pay somebody mm-hmm. to figure it out and then learn what you're good at. In IT, a lot of people struggle with IT. It's a lot more complicated than you think. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to make this sound hard. It's really not. But there's moving parts.
I have something to say about this real quick on a side note, because I was talking about this with my kid at dinner last night. I think this is the coolest thing, and she wished they had this too. It was on the radio yesterday talking about schools. What if schools swapped learning a language for learning code?
Oh, my gosh.
Wouldn't that be the greatest thing? And my kids actually said,
because
I
code
wish we
is
had
a language.
That. Why would I take – I don't need to take French. I took French in high school. If I could take code writing instead of French, that would have been so much more beneficial to me. I cannot tell you.
I think it should be set up exactly the same because, you know, JavaScript is a code, is a language.
But here's the point. The point is getting exposure to it at a young age and seeing if mm-hmm. it's something good for you.
Right.
And that was like they interviewed a guy from Microsoft and stuff about it, and it was really kind of a cool thing.
The thing about learning technical skills like that, it's not so much that you're going to learn the code and then go get a job and be happy. It's more about changing the way you think. Wait, this is possible? Yes, this is possible, but JavaScript doesn't handle this thing over here. You have to use these. So you start thinking like that, and then you start just innately applying it to like how to buy land or whatever you choose to do.
I get
it's
that.
It's changing the way you think.
That's a good way to look at
That's
it.
What I got out of accounting.
Oh.
It's not so much that I was a good accountant. Frankly, I wasn't.
Right.
I didn't have the patience for it. But I still think in terms of income statements and balance sheets and
that's who you are.
I know. And it's not
that's
I learned
who
that.
You are.
I learned that. I wasn't.
You are.
You know,
that's
just,
natural to you.
So that's what there's a value in education that way. Anyway, mm-hmm. man, we got sidetracked.
No, it's good. Okay, so I have something to say about this. Back on topic. I think it's important to also reevaluate all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. It's not like I ever just did the white sheet of paper thing one time and decided what I wanted, put it in motion, and it never changed. I do this often.
How often?
Probably once every 6 months, maybe every quarter.
Do you save them to look back at yourself, or is it all in your head?
No, you're so good at that. I don't save anything.
Okay.
You know that.
I was just curious. You don't have like a journal that you write it down? Okay. I was just curious.
I should.
That's what I.
When I sit down to write.
It's in my head right now.
Write
but
a
I
book
should.
Or anything. I write it. I hyper focus on it, and until it's done, like we do with these education programs, mm-hmm. it's like the one thing we do for however long it takes, and then it's over and it's out of my mind. And
mm-hmm.
you're much better about. Here's the thing about you, Jill. You live your life. It's all one big thing, and so your kids fit into that one big thing, and I do, and these companies do. And the fact that you can't get your car titled properly does. And it's all one big thing. And I really admire that. Most men don't think like that. Men, it's all compartmentalized. I'm at work now, so I really don't care what happens to my kids.
Hmm.
I'm at my kid's ball game right now, so I'm not going to take this call for work.
Interesting.
You know, I don't know if it's a gender thing or maybe a me-specific thing or just a bad habit. I don't know what the hell it is. Actually, I don't care.
Thank you.
Just women in general and you specifically are good at looking at the whole thing. Like, yeah, I don't feel like working today because I'm, you know, my aunt died
yeah.
or something like that. And that's the way life really is. Probably like humans are like that.
Mm-hmm.
They can't just cut one thing off and start the next.
It's true.
It all happens at the same time.
Yeah. You got to be
like,
good to yourself.
All those plates, you know, those guys in the circus that twist those things on plates on a stick.
Right, the juggling or the, yeah, balancing.
Yeah.
The balancing. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So, yeah, I mean, all the stuff I did a lot of years ago, I kept writing it down on a piece of paper and then changing it and then changing it and then changing it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was writing down on paper. I don't know. For somebody, it might be just all be in their head.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a good point. You have to, I agree. You cannot be afraid to change gears or your direction, but you just got to commit to it. Like you said on a show recently with the football coach, you know, commit to it 100%, 100 miles an hour, whatever mm-hmm. it is. You make a change, don't half do it. I was
right.
going to use a word that we shouldn't say on the show. Don't half
I say
a
all
blank,
the time.
Blank, blank. Oh, you can say that?
Yeah, I just got a thing from iTunes that said you have to clean lyrics mean clean lyrics. And they weren't just sending it to me, but they sent it to a lot of people that, that's being bent.
Oh.
That rule. I don't think we're even close to bending it.
Okay. Well, I'm not. I'll tell you that much. I'm don't A asterisk asterisk. You know what I mean? But be committed 100%.
You are, for what you are rated G in language, you make up for in rated R in other areas of your life. And I really appreciate that.
Oh, if you could see the look on my face right now. Wow.
And I say that with love and respect.
Boy, that wakes you up. Okay, we're going to talk after this. Oh, my goodness.
Now's a time to say that you should join us in another episode where Jill and I, if we ever have another episode, where Jill and I discuss your all-important success in real estate investment and in life.
What were you talking about?
You know exactly what I was talking about.
Well, how clean my office is?
Yeah, sure. Let's leave it at that.
I don't know. Hello. Thank you for not expanding or, you know, whatever the word is on that.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
You know I adore you.
I know that. That's fun. I thought that was good. I really hope that everybody got a lot out of that show. It's important to think about. It's important to talk about. You know, I think I know a lot of people listen to us on their commute to and from their job. And when I used to have a long commute, that's where a lot of my big thinking happened.
Yeah. Because
I have alone time in the car.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'm evaluating. And some of it is because I'm evaluating every day. Why am I doing this? Do I want to be making this drive? You know, this is stressful and hard and traffic. And there's so many other places I'd rather be. So I would reevaluate a lot during that commute. And I've had some commutes, boy. Living in LA and
I can't even imagine
working downtown. And, you know, I lived at the beach and I worked downtown and I had to leave 2 hours before I needed to be there.
It's amazing to me.
This was stupid. And then there's a lot of people that drive that in and out from Riverside. God, that one, you know, that's a tough one.
Amazing.
So there's a lot of evaluating. So I hope that helped people kind of think and then maybe they're going to make some different decisions.
Yeah. Well said.
Thank you.
Let's go buy some real estate.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
Landacademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.